This is Morning Edition on Vermont Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Mitch Wertlieb. The trial continues in Boston this week for the man accused in the bombing of the Boston Marathon. Johar Tsarnaev faces the death penalty for those crimes. And next month, a jury in Vermont will hear the case of Donald Fell, who faces the death penalty for the murder of a Clarendon woman in 2000. Now, neither Vermont nor Massachusetts are states that have the death penalty, but having a trial that could end up with capital punishment in those states is not an uncommon occurrence. Joining us now is Jessica West, director of the Experiential Advocacy Program and associate professor at Vermont Law School, and she joins us now from our Norwich studio. Jessica, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome, Mitch.
So remind us why it is that states without the death penalty can hear cases that could end up in an accused person being executed.
So some offenses are both state and federal offenses, and in those circumstances where there is concurrent jurisdiction in the state and federal systems, generally what happens is the prosecutors in both systems get together and make a determination about who will prosecute the offense, and sometimes it's both, and in that case, who will go first. So in the federal system, there is the availability of capital punishment. So in both these circumstances, you have federal offenses as well as state offenses.
The circumstances in these two cases that I mentioned in the introduction are quite different. Johar Tsarnaev is facing the death penalty, as I understand it, because it was an act of terrorism. Is that right?
That's right. Those terrorism offenses are offenses that the federal court has jurisdiction over.
But in the case of Donald Fell, he was charged with committing the murder of Terry King in 2000. But before allegedly killing her, he transported her from Vermont to New York. And is that the prosecution's only legal standing for seeking the death penalty against him?
That is the justification for a federal offense, yes. So without that piece, Mr. Fell would be tried only under state of Vermont law, which does not provide for the death penalty. So yes, that is the piece that makes him eligible for the death penalty.
Jessica West, this case of Donald Fell is very interesting, especially because this is his second trial. He was already convicted of the murder of Terry King, but because one of the jurors went and visited the site of the crime and then told other jurors about the visit, that's enough to get a new trial. Was that really enough of a problem to order a new trial for a man who was already convicted of murder?
It is, in fact. That's in part because the judicial system controls the evidence that is presented or not presented. In a circumstance, you know, here, juror 143, where a juror goes out and visits a scene, that juror can come back and provide additional information that's not able to be cross-examined or refuted or rebutted or weighed or balanced by the other jurors. So it does, in some circumstances, and did here, result in a new trial.
Were you surprised about that? And the reason I ask is because it seems like this was either the case of a rogue juror, someone who just decided to ignore the instructions of the court and go visit this crime scene, or is it a problem of the court not explaining fully enough or making clear the seriousness of violating those rules that led to this circumstance?
Yeah, it's a good question. There's a lot of information given to jurors and a lot of instructions that they're told to follow. And honestly, some of them we know that they can't even follow. For example, jurors are told not to decide or think about the case in a way of deciding about the outcome until all the evidence is presented, and yet social scientists will tell us that that's not, in fact, the way that the brain operates. Here, though, I think it's pretty clear that Judge Sessions had instructed jurors not to go out and collect their own information, and it does seem as though juror 143 violated that in something that was, you know, more than just negligence.
Do you think that having a second trial for Donald Fell, will that make it more, less difficult, about the same for prosecutors to succeed in convicting him a second time?
So there's two issues, Mitch. One is about convicting him of the underlying crime, and then the second piece is the jury needs to make a second determination about the appropriate sentence. And I don't think that they're going to have a real hard time coming to a conclusion with regards to the guilt or innocence of Mr. Fell. That would be my guess. But that the issue of the appropriate penalty is probably one that they're going to struggle with all over again.
It's going to be difficult for the family of Terry King, I imagine, too, having to sit through all this again.
That's what it looks like. Yeah.
Is it harder to pick a jury for a death penalty case in a state like Vermont when there really is no death penalty?
It's always hard to pick a jury in a death penalty case. And that's in part because they're extraordinarily difficult cases to sit on, and jurors are frequently reluctant to do that. They take a long time. They take a lot out of people. And they're the kinds of things I understand from jurors that they carry with them their whole life. It's one of the things that sometimes abolitionists or people who are opposed to the death penalty point to is the burden on those people who need to decide, the burden on the system, the cost, those kinds of issues. In a state like Vermont where there isn't the death penalty and where there may be a number of people who are opposed to the death penalty, the system has a mechanism for weeding those people out. They aren't permitted to sit on the death penalty jury. A jury in a capital case needs to be what's called death qualified, meaning they could impose the death sentence.
It seems like then if you're getting people on the jury that would at least be willing to impose the death penalty, you could make the argument that they are then biased in favor of the death penalty, couldn't you?
It's made all the time, Mitch, and it's true. They are biased in favor of conviction, and they are biased in favor of the death penalty. But the system doesn't know another way to navigate the fact that it wants to have a set of jurors who can and are able to impose the law. Sometimes courts will say something like, we need to have people who will, in a drug case, we're not going to put on the jury people who are opposed to prosecution of marijuana possession, if that's what the case is, because we want people who are going to be able to do that to impose the sentence or carry out the law. So they analogize this circumstance to that.
Jessica West, you were a death penalty litigator before you became a professor. Could you tell us perhaps about a trial you worked on that made a particular or lasting impression on you?
Well, they all make a particular lasting impression. They're incredibly demanding cases. They are incredibly emotional. They're cases where, for a criminal defense lawyer, the life of their client is really hanging in the balance. So the lawyers carry an enormous burden, and each of them is quite aware of that, no doubt.
Jessica West is the director of the Experiential Advocacy Program and associate professor at Vermont Law School. I want to thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Mitch. My pleasure.